This morning we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You might turn over there if you've got your Bible with you. And really we'll be in the first five verses. Great chapter and so many good things, but we're limited by time. And so we're going to go through and talk about this. The concept that I want us to think about this morning a little bit is the idea regarding war, waging war. It's a concept that's dealt with in this passage several different times, and several verses in here deal with the concept of war and waging war. Do you like war? I'm not a big fan of war, I'll just be honest with you. If somebody says, Joe, you want to go to war? That's doesn't sound like fun. You know, I don't enjoy that. I have a friend who's was a sergeant in the Army, and he was a counterintelligence guy. Now, he loves war. This guy, his name's Brian, and he's not a real big guy. You see him, but he starts talking about war, and you become immediately impressed with this man. You think, this guy can handle himself. He's been through some things, and you get him started talking about war, and he gets excited. He gets excited, and he tells some pretty fantastic stories, too. And it's enjoyable to listen to him talk. But most of us don't like war, and we don't want to be involved with war. And if somebody invited us to one, we probably wouldn't go. If we could at all avoid it. Paul dealt with war. And Paul dealt with this in his ministry. And a lot of 2 Corinthians is his defense of his ministry. And here, in this chapter 10, he's dealing with a difficulty that he's having to do. He's defending his ministry. And he's talking about how the people there are thinking. How they should think. And what they were struggling with. And so he says, and we want to read a few verses here. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. They were having a problem here in Corinth, and they were thinking about things in a wrong manner. In this case, he talks to them about the idea that they feel like that they should judge things in the world around them by the standards of this world. Meaning that there's a different standard from God than from our world around us. And you know, it's easy for each one of us, because we live in the physical world, to start to judge and evaluate the world we live in by the standards given to us by our world. Now, what are some of those standards? Well, there's several different things I want us to think about this morning. Success equals having money. Isn't that right? Don't we think about that? Not very few of us would walk into a room and say, hey, I have been so successful this week. I lost my job and I wasn't able to pay my bills. I don't think anybody would feel like that was success. I think we would all feel like, man, it's just not going well. I just feel like a failure and I'm not being successful. I think we have a sense in which we think about money and success. And the more money we have, probably the more successful we feel. Power and titles. Do we think about that? We think about where we sit in our office complex. If you're in the corner office and it's bigger than everyone else's, don't you feel more powerful? Right, Joe Bright? I mean, any of us? That's a joke. I love Joe. Power and titles tend to go together. They do. And in our world, we can sometimes start to evaluate ourselves and think, based on the world around us, you know, hey, I feel powerful because of who I am and who these people tell me that I am. And we make those titles something important. Happiness equals stuff. Or should I say more stuff, right? Because however happy I am now, I would be happier if I would add to it some more stuff. I just need this and I just need that. And then I'll be happy. I don't know if you've run into that, but I know we do. And in our house, that happens all the time. And sometimes it happens because, you know, other things don't make us happy. But I can get some stuff, and that stuff will make me happy. And then pretty soon, that stuff doesn't make us happy anymore. The truth. What does our world tell us, and how do we evaluate the truth? Well, the truth is subjective. It's not an objective thing that I can know and that evaluates everything else. Truth is something that's true for me. Well, if it's true for me, then it's true for me. And I don't care what you think, and I don't care what you believe or what you know. You see, what really matters to me is what I determine the truth is. But we live in a world where we see that happen all the time. People want to evaluate their world based on what they believe the truth is. Relationships, as a standard of this world, are typically weak. Because I don't want a relationship that's going to pull me away from something I want or something that's important to me. And don't you start acting like you're more important than me. Our world evaluates that that's not the kind of relationship you want to be involved in. You want to be in a relationship where you can always be the center of all things. Because as we know, being the center of all things is what's best. That's what the standard of this world tells us. The standards of this world are faulty. And they're not a good way to judge. And yet we can all be pulled into believing some of these things. If I can't see it and touch it and use it, then it really doesn't affect my decisions. And sometimes we can be lulled into a state where we start to evaluate ourselves and our decisions by these worldly standards. And Paul is cautioning them that, listen, don't begin to think that we or that you should be evaluating our world by the standards that it gives us. They're not the right standard. And so we have to think differently. You see, there's a war that's set up, and this is part of the war right here. Now, we know as Christians that we are ultimately going to win the war. When we go to a book like Revelation, and we see there's a great rider that comes in on the white horse. His name is Faithful and True. He's going to judge the nations in justice. And it says he'll make war on the nations in Revelation 19. The one that we serve, the one that we follow, the one that we come in behind, he's leading our procession. He's on the white horse. It's Jesus Christ. That's who we're with. But this world is not always subject to Christ, is it? And this world does not always do what it should do. And so the battle is set up that we, as followers of Jesus, are going to have a difficulty in trying to determine, am I going to let the standards of this world be my standards? Or am I going to let the standards set up by Christ be my standard? Is that going to be how I'm going to judge and evaluate the world that I'm a part of? He goes on in this passage, and look at verse 3. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. You see, we're living in a world where there is a war going on, and there is a waging of war here. And as that happens, the world does it in one way, and we're to do it in another. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. The idea here that I'd like to stop and think about for just a moment is, how does the world around us wage war? What are its weapons, if it has weapons? And if it's waging war against us, in what way does it do that? Well, here's some things I think that wage war against us from a worldly standpoint. Guilt. You ever use guilt as a weapon? Anybody in here? Parents, come on now. Can I get a witness here? I mean, we do use guilt. My mother still uses guilt. I mean, it still happens. It doesn't matter how old I get to be. She'll still use it. And when she's gone, there'll still be some guilt there. That's just the way of the world, isn't it? Guilt is a thing. But you know what? We're not supposed to, as God's people, we're not supposed to be using guilt against one another as a weapon, folks. I'm going to remind you of this thing you've done. I'm going to tell you about what you did to me, and I'm going to make you feel guilty once again. I'm going to hurt you with guilt. That's not God's plan for His people. We're not to be using guilt as a weapon that we fight with in our world. God does not want us to be doing that, and yet I think sometimes we've gotten pulled into doing that. We've even done that here some, haven't we, in the church. Does that happen in the church? Sure, it does. And God's plan is that we would not use these weapons. These are weapons of our world. These are not His weapons that He gives us. Anger. That's a weapon of our world. Do you ever just get really good and angry? And you can just use anger as a great weapon, because when you walk into a room and you're angry, you can blow away everybody else's thoughts with your anger, can't you? Your pain that you feel on the inside, or a hurt that you have. I'm just going to get rid of all that by just being really angry, and I'm going to yell, and everybody's going to stop and listen to me. Do we ever do that? I think we do. And the reason we do is because we've learned it. We've picked it up from the world around us. But I'm telling you right now that using anger is not a weapon that God has planned for us. It's not part of our arsenal as His people. Anger is a weapon of the world. And God doesn't want to see His people using anger as a weapon. You see, we don't wage war as the world does. At least, we're not supposed to. That's what He's trying to tell us here. And so we need to stop and think about that. Am I using anger as a weapon? Jealousy. Do we use that sometimes? I think it can be a weapon too, you know. I'm just so jealous. I'm just so upset and irritated with somebody else because they got the thing I wanted. And I'm going to be mad at them, and I'm going to avoid them. And I'm going to do all I can to not help them in any way because I'm just so jealous of them. Backbiting. Does that ever happen? The other day I was watching a military movie and somebody was talking to somebody else and said, go ahead and go get some coffee and come back in about 5 minutes. And the person said, that's okay, I don't need coffee. And said, you have permission to leave. We want to talk about you behind your back. You know, it doesn't usually happen that way, does it? Somebody doesn't say, would you excuse yourself from the room? I have something I want to say about you. Usually doesn't happen that way. But the fact is that sometimes we do use this backbiting as a negative weapon of the war that we're in. And we do that against each other, sometimes in families, sometimes in the church, sometimes in relationships. And we do that because, you know, it feels like it gives me an advantage. If I say something about you and you're not there to defend yourself, I feel like I gained an advantage. Folks, that's not the kind of weaponry that God gives us to use. That's not part of what He plans on us doing. What about over-control? You see, when I over-control you, it demonstrates something. It demonstrates that I'm more powerful than you because I can control you. The other thing it demonstrates is that I don't really trust you. Because if I did trust you, I wouldn't have to control every little thing that you do. But in our world today, I'm telling you, over-control becomes a part of the weaponry that we use against other people. And we demonstrate our unwillingness to trust, and we demonstrate our unwillingness to be able to have faith in another person by over-controlling every aspect of what they do. God does not plan on His people exhibiting that kind of behavior. He doesn't have that plan for us. Gossip and slander. And you know, we do this. And you might say, well, Joe, I didn't do it. I just repeated it. Oh, okay, yeah. You might make that distinction. I don't think God makes that distinction. I think God says, if you want to put the fire out, you throw water on it. You don't pass the fire along to the next person, do you? God doesn't want us to be a people who does that. Gossip and slander should not be a part of our arsenal as we war in this world that we're a part of. And keeping a record of wrongs. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I know this is hard for you to believe sitting there this morning. I have made some terrible mistakes. That's not hard to believe, is it? You have too, right? And you know, as bad as I know I've done sometimes, and I've made some terrible mistakes, I really want to improve and do better. I really do. Can I just tell you something that's a secret? It doesn't help me when you come up and remind me about that about 10 times. I just want to tell you, that doesn't help me. And you know what? It doesn't help other people in my life when I do it to them. Yeah, I know who you are. Remember that time you did such and such? Oh, please, could you drop that? I remember when I did that. And it was ridiculous. It made me feel bad. I'm sorry I did it. And we find ourselves doing that to others if we're not careful. We keep a record of wrongs. And the reason we do it is because, again, it's a weapon of our world. And we've been taught to keep a record of wrongs. Sometimes we do that because it gives me some sort of an advantage over the other person. God says, that's not my plan for you. You see, every one of these weapons damage the person who uses them. And so if we become people who use these weapons of our world, we're going to hurt ourselves. And God's plan is not that we would use weapons that hurt us all the time. God wants us to be moving ahead. God doesn't want us to be constantly set back by these negative things that we use. Those are weapons of the world. That's not God's plan for us. His plan is that we would have aggressive, positive weaponry that we would be able to make good forward momentum with. So if it's not the weapons of this world that we're supposed to fight with, what do we fight with? Look at verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds. You see, when we use the right weapons, weapons that are not of this world, we use weapons that have the power to do incredible things because they are divine in their nature. They are divine in their power. They are divine in their ability. And God wants us to unite ourselves with weaponry that actually can accomplish great things. The weapons of our world can't do that, but the weapons that come from God can. Now, what are some of His weapons? I want to suggest some today. I think joy is a weapon. Do you know that joy is a weapon? Have you ever used that? I bet you have. I want you to think about, I had an example recently. I went through the register at Walmart. What a wonderful place. And as I was there trying to remember if I got all the things that my wife wanted me to get, which I usually don't, I was standing there in line waiting, and I had a basket with me, and there was a lady in line in front of me, and this lady was giving the checker the worst time you ever saw. She was just badgering her and being difficult. Don't put that in that sack, and do this and do that, and you know, and that lady, you could see it was grating on her, you know. And so I came through the line, and I always talk to checkers. It irritates my kids. But anyway, I walked through the line, and I said, "Hey, how's your day going? How do you think it's going?" I said, "Well, I know the last few minutes wasn't a lot of fun, but you know it's going to get better now, all right? Because that was the low point, okay? So it's going to get better from this point forward." And she kind of looked at me, you know, and she kept checking the groceries. So I started being fun and saying funny things to her and asking her questions. And in a minute, she grinned and she smiled and she started being a lot more positive. You know, I think God wishes us to be the kind of people, He wants us to be the people who use things like joy as a weapon in our world. I'm going to use joy, I'm going to use happiness as a way to be able to dissolve negative things. That's a weapon that I think God gives us, and I think it's a beautiful one. Use it with your family, too. When you get on to your kids and they get really upset, then make them smile as fast as you can. It's not easy sometimes, but you can do it. God wants us to do that. What about love? Is love a weapon? You bet it is. It's a great weapon. And we can use love and care for other people to demonstrate to them that, you know, we don't want to use the negative weapons of this world. Have you ever had somebody to tell you something really negative about another person? And you said to them, "You know what, that may be true, but let me tell you, I really love that person." Anybody ever done that to you? I've had people do that to me before. And I'm like, "Yes, I know. There are a lot of wonderful things about them. Okay, I'm sorry I said something negative. That was bad." You know, God wants us to be those kind of people who do that to others. Who help other people see, you know what, we love that person, even though they have issues and challenges. Because you know I have my issues and challenges too, don't you? Don't you? God wants us to use love as an offensive weapon. What about prayer? Absolutely. He wants us to be moving forward with prayer. You ever had an argument or an issue with somebody or a challenge between you and a brother and sister? Had a war that was more of a worldly war, not the kind of spiritual war God wants us to fight? You ever prayed for that person? Let me tell you, if you consistently pray for another person, it is hard to see them and not try to feel good about them. It really is. It's hard to do that. Now, we can do it if we try. We can hold on to negative things, but God wants us to use prayer as a way to be able to help and bless somebody's life. Honesty, what about that? Who's the father of lies? Well, that's Satan. Jesus taught us that in the book of John. You know, the reality is that we if we participate in lies or dissimulating, which is, you know, that's like a brother of a lie. You know what I'm talking about? We don't totally say a lie. We just kind of agree to something that we don't really agree with. God doesn't want us to do that. God wants us to use honesty as a weapon. We can be real and right and true and honest and sincere. Sincerity as well. I want people to know who I am, and I want to be who God wants me to be consistently. Boy, that's a definite weapon that God gives us that we have in our arsenal. Are we using that one? It's not a weapon of our world, but it is a weapon that God equips us with. Kindness, and that's to all people. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's really easy to be kind to some people, isn't it? Because they're nice people. You know people like that, don't you? But sometimes it's hard to be kind to people that aren't nice, and especially if they don't like me. If I already know the person doesn't like me, it's hard for me to go up and pretend like, "Oh, hey, how are you doing?" You know, I just want to kind of get away from them. But God says we show kindness, and we do that as a positive thing. We use that as a weapon that He gives us to bless their life, to change the environment that we're in, and to do something aggressively forward for the kingdom. If I'm going to do that, I have to be thinking all the time about that. Now, as I move forward, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? Psalm 118 gives us that. Psalm 118, what a great psalm. If you haven't read it recently, go back and do that soon. But God teaches us here. He says, "Look, I want you to know that you're united with me. And when you work with me, I'm going to move you forward. Don't fear that you're going to fail. You're not going to fail. We already know that we're winners. If the Lord is my helper, what can man do to me?" And so the words or the argument or the negatives that other people bring to me, you see, I don't have to defend myself against that, do I? Why? Because the Lord is my helper. And if God's on my side, then the thing you say to me is not really going to ultimately harm me, is it? Because God is working with me. And so I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry you said that thing. I wish you hadn't. But you know, the fact is, God is working with me. And He's on my side. And I know that because I'm with Him, things are going to work out okay. It's going to be all right. Even if at the moment we have to go through some difficulty. God puts these things, I would call that confidence. And I think we have every reason to be confident, knowing that we fight and we wage war with God on our side, using the weapons He gives us. But the thing is, as we think about this whole concept, you know, God wants us to demolish strongholds. The question is, are we equipped well with the armaments that He gives us? Are we really using all the things He gives us as offensive weapons to be able to do great things for Him? Or have we gotten pulled into using worldly methodology when we fight the war that we do on a daily basis for Him? Do we use the world's means to do this? Do the things that happen in our home and in the workplace reflect someone using God's weaponry and fighting a battle that He is proud of? Being able to wage war on our world is a necessary thing for us. But are we doing it God's way? Worldly experiences, I believe, have really not prepared us well for waging war God's way. And if we're going to wage war the way He tells us to here, and the way that Paul is trying to tell them we need to, if we're going to do it that way, we're going to have to unlearn some bad behaviors. Because goodness, sometimes we use such bad behaviors. And you know, it becomes reactionary inside of me. I don't know about you. But immediately when somebody says something I don't like or acts in a way I don't like, my first gut reaction is to get them back. Say something negative. Avoid them. Does that happen here in the body? Does that happen at church? You know what? I'm so irritated with them, I'm not even going to be close to them. I'm not going to encourage them in any positive way. I'm not going to say anything good to them. I'll just avoid them as far as I can. Well, I don't think that's God's plan. Do you? I didn't see avoidance as a methodology for how we deal with this. I think God's plan is that we would wage war by loving and by showing care and concern and caring about it, praying for other people, by going out of our way to say something encouraging and positive. He gives us that opportunity to do that. Are we waging war that way? You know, the battle that I know He doesn't want to fight is each other. The world does not see the church as the powerful juggernaut, the powerful ability that we have. The world doesn't look at us and see us riding behind Christ. And He's up there on the horse leading us out in battle. And we're back there fighting among each other. I don't think that's His plan, do you? I think the plan is that we all move forward using the same kind of weaponry that Christ did. And how did Christ demonstrate warfare here on this earth? You know, He's not the one that took the sword and chopped the man's ear off, was He? He healed the man. He put the ear back on. That was Jesus' way of doing battle. Healing, loving, caring, showing concern, letting the people know who were crucifying Him. What did He say to them? He said to them, what? God, don't hold this thing against them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's what He said. And you know, I believe that Jesus is demonstrating for us the kind of war we're supposed to be fighting. I think He's showing us a better way. And yet we have to learn it. We have to work in that direction. Have we taken captive every thought for Christ? Look at this next verse here, verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Now, I'm going to apply this in a very personal way. And here's how. Are we taking captive the thoughts that we have every day to make those things obedient to Christ? Is my behavior and my thoughts, you know, the way that we act and things that we say come right from here, right between my ears. And I'm going to tell us today that I believe our biggest, greatest battleground is right up here. The battle that we have to fight first is the battle to think rightly about each other, to think rightly about the world that we're a part of, to think according to God's will for us, the way that we're supposed to think. And our world does not train us that way. And so if I'm going to start to take every thought captive for Christ, I'm going to have to be intentional about that. I'm going to have to work at that. I'm going to suggest this morning that you have some thoughts, maybe about a brother or sister here, maybe somebody in your family. Maybe you've been waging war in a situation, in a relationship in your life. And I'm going to suggest that God's way of waging that war is very differently waged. It's a very different type of battle than the kind that we've been taught to wage. And that the way that we live and act and conduct ourselves has everything to do about how Christ lived. That should be the way that we wage war. Not by being mean and ugly and rude and cutting other people anytime that we can and making them look bad and dealing with them in a way that the world does. We need to be dealing with each other the way that God teaches us to wage war. And it's a whole different way. Today, I think God wants us to let go of some things. And I just want to give you this little list. I think it's an important list. Here's the things that I think we keep with us that really causes problems in this battle. We hold on to hurt. We feel like we're righteous in our anger. And we say and do things we shouldn't. We resent other people. And we have a reason why. I wrote it down. Look at what they did to me in 1978. I wrote it down right here so I won't forget about it. Remember that bad thing that they did to me? I'm going to hold that against them for the rest of their lives. And it gets us where? It gets us nowhere. It gets us nowhere. Also, an unwillingness to trust. I've been burned. People have hurt me. I'm not going to come here and trust these people. You think I'm going to trust you? I know what you're waiting to do. You're waiting to hurt me. You know what? God says that's not the kind of spirit and heart that we're supposed to bring here. That's not the kind of weaponry that we're to use in our war that we have to fight. God says, I want to equip you with good things. I want to equip you with love and belief and a willingness to trust, even if they don't deserve it. You see, Jesus read the hearts and minds of everyone he came in contact with, and he put things in their hands anyway. How did he do that? He did that because he was demonstrating for us what we're to do. It's to care when it's difficult to do. It's to love when it's hard to love. It's to show trust when there's really no reason why we should show that person trust. And yet we're to do it anyway because it's a part of the battle that we fight. And our enemy is Satan, not our brother or sister. Our enemy is Satan, not the person that we work with. Not our neighbor, not any of those people we run into. Are you holding on to wrongs this morning? Are you harboring things in your heart that make it difficult for you to fight your battle God's way? Let me tell you something. Don't hold on to it any longer. Don't hold on to that thing and think that you're righteous in doing so. God says, I want you to let go of that. And I want you to fight a battle that's worthy of the demonstration of Jesus Christ. He showed us how to fight. If you're here this morning and you've got a difficulty, you've got a hurt, you've got a resentment, there's something in you that's caused you to wage war in a way that the world has demonstrated. Come down here this morning and say, I want to let go of that. I don't want to be that person anymore. I don't want to hurt other people with things I say. I want to change my life today, and I don't want to fight the battle the way Satan has taught me to fight it. I want to fight it God's way. Or if you want to become a child of His this morning, come and be baptized into Christ. Demonstrate to Him, let me show you whose side I'm on. I'm on the Lord's side. And I won't be yours anymore, Satan. I will not fight the battle for you anymore. I want to fight it for God, and I want to be a different person. If you want to do that this morning, come. Can't think of a better time while we stand and sing.